Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
We're teaching this month on a series we're entitled The Bible, More Than Words. And we're talking about this book that is not like any other book, and that it has living words of life to us. And many people in our world today have some kind of respect for the Bible, but not a devotion that allows us to hear from heaven. And we have a chance that as Christians, we could fall into that category of thinking that this is a book to have some kind of respect for, but we don't go to it and let it speak to us and guide our life, because it's more than words. It's more than just spiritual thoughts and ideas, but life. And so in this series, you know, every time we teach in our worship experiences, we teach from the Bible. And so for a couple of weeks, I wanted to teach both about the Bible and from the Bible so that it raises the value in you and in your heart. We're reminded that these are words of life. And as desperate as some of us are in different moments of life, and maybe this is your moment, maybe this is that season where you're thinking, oh man, I need God's help, I need intervention, I need God's provision in my life, that you would recognize that the Word of God is that which can bring you the provision, the answer. It's a word from heaven to you. And my goals, I had a lot more goals last week. Part of them were just for fun, but my three goals here is that you would read a chapter a day with me Monday through Friday in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be Luke 11 tomorrow, so if you haven't got involved yet, you can jump in tomorrow. Luke 11 is a perfect place to jump in because you can't go back in time, and that's already done. So you can go Luke 11, Monday, and it's strong. It gives you the secret to prayer, and many people never experience that. And then I'm asking you to not just read Luke and that in when we finish Luke that you're done, but that you begin to read the Word of God every day of your life, looking and listening for that personal word. And then my third goal is that you would understand how to read the Word of God and get a word from God for your life. And so that's why we're doing this. Have you ever struggled with temptation? No. Even though you want to do the right thing and you vowed to do the right thing and you believed you would, you miss it. You go, you fall, you struggle, you make the wrong decision. If you're like me, you've probably faced difficulties in life, and instead of being like the Peter who walks on the water looking at Jesus in the middle of the storm, we're more like the Peter who is sinking in the storm. And we struggle in this area, and I think today will help us all to find a strength and find that grace that we need. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a crucial verse of scripture for us in regard to what we're talking about, more than words. And so a very famous verse that you're aware of, John 3:16. So you can remember John 3:16. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. And so remember this, and here's the verse. I'm going to read from the NLT, which if you were here last week, you know, New Living Translation. All right? And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So it says, all scripture is inspired by God. That's what we believe. That's why what makes it more than words. And it teaches us. Now, what I did was I talked to you about two different translations that we use here frequently at Oasis. And so the other translation that we use is the NIV. Now, look at this translation and see what pops out to you. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. Isn't that great? We've got inspired by God, and we've got God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what this is about, is having the operation manual. I don't know about you, but I don't really read operation manuals. If they have photos, I look at those for a sec, and then I just go for it. And you know what I realized? I just figured this out. So the books are so thick. But then I realized the English is only like three of them, three pages. The rest of them are different languages. So don't be intimidated. You know, you got to read the operations manual. This is the operation manual for life. And since this is our Spanish translation service, 9:30 a.m., buenos dias, mi amigas. We have it in Espanol también here. Second Timoteo. Yeah? Timoteo. That's what I meant. Toda la escritura es inspirada por Dios. That's all I need to do. It's the same in every language. It's inspired word of God. So look at that. Inspired. God breathed. Do you really believe that this is a God-breathed word for your life? That means it's timely. It means it's extremely relevant to your life. It is a word that guides us. What do I need, God? What should I do? This word is the God-breathed whisper to our soul. The song of heaven is in here. The aroma of his presence is here. The vision of what you should do next is here, the word of God. And it says it teaches us what is true. This is so important. We say the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free if you will see the truth and embrace the truth. And in our society today, truth has gotten really watered down and very personal, and what's true for you may not be true for me. You know, is it cold in here or is it hot in here? Well, we all have our different perspective. If you're married, you're probably married to a person who has a whole different perspective of what's true about the temperature in any given room. I know for a fact it'll be that way for at least 29 years of marriage. It might change later. But what happens in our culture is that this is what we think truth is. We think, well, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. And that is a deception. That there are some things that will be true for you, but there are some things that are true no matter what you think. Okay, no matter what I think. It's true. What is the best candy bar in the world? Not candy bar. What's the best candy in the world? What? Snickers? Red Vine? Is that what you said? Wow. Gummy bears is the best candy in the world. That's all you got? Red Vine and gummy bear? Wow. No Reese's peanut butter? Come on. You guys need a little help over here. So what we're saying is, and you know, whatever you said is right, because it's true for you. It's what you like. It's what, you know, when you get that opportunity, Reese's, whatever it is, Red Vine, whatever, then you go for it. And there are some things in life that are just that way. But that's not what this is talking about when it says it will guide you into what is true. It'll teach you what is true. Because here's what it's like. What I have here is popcorn kernels. Now, I just pulled this off my pantry here. And I wonder if you could take a guess how many popcorn kernels are in here. Could you guess? What do you think? Just instead of sounding like you're speaking in tongues like you did just a minute ago, how about if we do things decently in order? Does somebody want to yell out a number? 376. 376. That's one guess. Anybody else? 900. Okay. All right. All right, thank you. God bless you. So when we're talking about that, it doesn't matter what's true for you. There is a specific number of popcorn kernels. And you can say, well, I feel like it's 200 or it's 1,200. So you could be wrong in so many ways. But the scripture tells us, see, when we're talking about spiritual truth, we're talking not about what is the best flavor that you like. You know, and just so you know, the biggest selling candy in the world is M&M's. So a lot of people think you're all wrong. $1.8 billion a year in sales, M&M's. And Cadbury's Dairy Milk Chocolate is number two. But I don't want to go down that trail. I'm just telling you that a lot of people think a lot of different things, but here's what happens, is that we look at the Word of God and we look at our faith with that same mentality and we say, well, you know, for me, God does this, or for me, this is the obedience, and the scripture will shine a lot of light on this. When I was leaving the house, Holly said, well, did you count them? How many are in there? And I said, it doesn't really matter how many are in there. That's not my point. My point is there's a specific number. 1,327. Now, look at this other scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. But be dedicated to the Word of God. We are here to be a light in a society, not to have our light snuffed out. And you've got to let the Word of God teach you what is true. And it doesn't matter if you feel like God is with you or not. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you as a child of God. And so then when you feel like he's nowhere around and he's abandoned you and you feel depressed and discouraged and full of fear, then your battle is to find the truth in your situation, which is he is there and you can't tell. And so now you've got a job, and that is to find his presence so that you can begin to draw from the presence and not draw from that deception that he's not with you. It says it shows us what's wrong in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 shows us what's wrong. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Last week, we talked about how Jesus said, the wise man builds his house on a rock, and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And what the wise man is that the one who hears these words of mine and applies it to his life, obeys them. That's a wise man. And so the scripture, it tells us it will correct us when we're wrong and teach us to do what is right if you follow, if you apply it, if you embrace it and you love it, then you will find life. I've been flying a lot the last couple of years, and opportunities that God has opened to me, and I'm grateful for it. And I was flying yesterday, and the flight attendants go, okay, now please put away all electronic devices. We can't pull away from the gate until everybody puts away and turns off electronic devices. And then they go on to talk about how to breathe and how to put it on yourself before you put on someone else and how to, you know, buckle a seatbelt. And they go, again, we just like to remind you, now is the time for you all to turn off your devices. It doesn't matter if it's a cell phone or an iPad or a Kindle or, and they go list this whole thing while people are going, we can't pull away from the gate until you turn those off. Thank you very much. Then they go on and talk about life vests and movies and food and how much they charge you for peanuts now instead of free. Then they go, okay, so put them away now. Now, then they walk down the aisle. Could you please turn that off, sir? Ma'am, could you put that away? I was like, these guys could be pastors. That's just exactly what it's like. Oh, yeah. We read the word. Come on, this is what the word says. Just want to remind you. You can't pull away from the gate until you take the word with you. Well, you put the word of God into your heart. Just want to remind you, anything with an on and off switch should be off. You know, and I'm not talking about now. I know you're taking notes. I don't take it personally. So who are you going to be? Are you going to be someone who is not normal and lives in this world and says, well, I love them. That's why we had sex. That's the normal thing when you love someone. Oh, really? Let me just tell you how many billboards I passed coming to church today that gave HIV phone numbers, AIDS phone numbers. Well, there's this one in Hollywood, this big, huge, massive picture of a condom. And it says, 96% safe. And then in parentheses it says, when you use it. I love that. For the LA people, we just need to throw in there, you gotta use it. You can't just carry it in your pocket for it to be safe. Hollywood people. And then we look at the Bible and go, that's not what love is. You might think that's what love is, but the Bible gives us what true love is. And so do we want the word of God that builds life? Do we want to build our house on a rock or on the sand? We have evidence all around us for people who like to build their life on the sand and make you wrong if you believe the truth. You don't have to be mean to people or ugly or critical to love the word of God. You just have to follow it. And that's what this is all about. It's more than words. It's the healing to your soul. It's the fresh air to your marriage. It's the wisdom for your business. It's the answer in your prayer for your kids. It's the word of God. It's powerful. Now, we've been reading through Luke. We, meaning my wife and I, the rest is an assumption. But I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. But what I'm going to do is help you go back in time to Luke 4. And we're going to read about Jesus going into the desert, going into a place where he was led by the Holy Spirit, and the enemy, the Bible says Satan and demonic forces came against Jesus to tempt him. And, you know, there's not that many things the devil could do. There's temptation. There's deception. There's seduction. There's confusion. And those are powerful enough. That's all he really needs. But most of us, the devil doesn't really have to come against us, because we haven't even turned off all devices yet. You know, we're just hanging out in church, not listening to the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. And the enemy comes to steal the Word from your life. But if you don't have any, you just have to go outside and read a billboard and let that lead you. I just decided to get real today. Is that all right with you? It's not because I haven't had my coffee, because I have, but I just felt like I wanted you to know the truth. Now, in Luke chapter 4, it says this. I'm reading from the Bible. Let's see. Oh, NIV. NIV is what we're doing. Listen to this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Or, "No, solo de pan vive el hombre." Gracias. So the devil comes to Jesus, and he meets him at his place of need. So you got power. Why don't you, if you're the Son of God, act out of the pressure around you and not out of God's direction in your life, and turn this stone to bread. You could do it. And Jesus, how does Jesus face this temptation in his need? The need for that, his hunger, his soul. And, you know, he said, "Hey, we're not singing We Are the World here. That tells you they turn stone to bread, but I'm going by the word of God." And it says, I'm not going to do that. And he said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's what Jesus said. He fought the temptation with the word. Now, please listen. If Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, God in human form, is walking on this earth like you and me, and he needed the word of God out of his mouth to fight the devil, don't you think you and I would need that? Or do we say, are we saying we don't need what Jesus did? Are we followers of Jesus? And so he, out of his mouth, he didn't say, "Hold on a second, let me open my book here." No, it was in his heart. Man shall not live by bread alone. There's so much going on there. Not only the resistance, the truth, the correction of what was going on, but he's talking about, you know what feeds my soul is the word of God. It feeds my soul, so I can just give it to you. So much we do in life, we're tempted to meet our needs other than obedience to the Father, other than feeding our soul from the word of God. That's why we do a lot of things. We make a lot of decisions so that we can feed that need of insecurity, of insignificance, of insufficiency, of fear, and we're feeding ourselves on food or glamour, attention, whatever it might be we're feeding, and we have to come against that temptation with the word of God. Yeah. And so this is an example for us to follow. And then the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to Jesus, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So the devil comes to tempt him, and you and I are tempted in the same way, where the voice of this world, the voice of the enemy comes to us and says, "What you are needing and desiring in your life, I could provide it if you'd worship me. What our society would offer you in the way of authority, influence, splendor, if you will bow your knee to anything other than God, to your appetite, to your emotions, to opportunity, to recognition, to significance, to approval." And we're just so tempted to go, "Yeah, that's what I need. All I would need to do is compromise. All I would need to do is say no to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. All I need to do is disregard his direction." But what came out of the mouth of Jesus is, "It is written." Everybody say, "It is written."
It is written.
Yeah, familiar with that. It is written. He said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's how I'm doing my life. That's what he said. Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, look at the devil busts out some scripture himself. He said, well, you're going to use the sword on me? I got a sword myself. Here, look at this. He will give his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Putting God to the test, my best understanding of this situation in relation to most other ones that we read in the Word is requiring or expecting God to lead and provide the way you want him to. He said, wait, you can't put the Bible says, do not put the Lord God to the test. In other words, I'm here to worship him and serve him only. And so you're telling me, jump down, then everybody will see. I could save 3 years of talking to people and giving sermons and loving people. I could just, right now, everybody go, wow, Son of Man. I wouldn't even have to die. But he said, it says, don't put your Lord God to the test. I'm not going to entertain a different way. I'm going to go his way. I'll give you a little secret in life. The shortcut usually isn't. The shortcut is usually the long way in the long run of things. And so, but you can't, yet when testing God, we're expecting God or requiring God to give us what we want or to do it our way. You know what? When you do something is just as important as what you do. What you do, how you do it, when you do it is the threefold wisdom of God in obedience. What you do, how you do it, and when you do it. Because you could disregard everybody else, and Jesus said, it's not my time. I'm not going to do that. I could. He could have done everything that the devil said, but he resisted it. And he resisted it through the word of God. And now look at the next verse. This is verse 13. It says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him forever and ever. Amen. No, sorry. He left him until an opportune time, till another time. You know, he wasn't finished tempting Jesus and attacking Jesus, and he will tempt you, and he's not finished tempting you. He's going to look for an opportune time, a time when you're weak. And let me just speak to you prophetically for a moment, and where God wants to take you is a place of significance, of high impact. There is a season, a timing of God, and that you are in the place that you're in for this time and this season, and it might require you to win some battles against the enemy. And what if what you had to do was so important that the devil himself said, I'm going to assign 40 days of focus to you. I'm going to put 40 days of purpose on tempting you and confusing you and deceiving you. Could you handle it? Could you stand up? Not if you don't have the word. You don't have to sweat and worry and say, oh my gosh, 40 days. No, you just have to know the word. You just have to be yielded to God, because when Jesus comes out the other end of this 40 days, all power is released. All the plan is revealed. The door open. Things begin to happen. And this is true for your life, for your personal life, and it's true for our church. It's true for our church community. It's necessary for our city. That we get some victories, that we overcome the enemy, and you will overcome him by the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. And so realize that when the enemy comes against you, that you can resist it. You can win. You can defeat the enemy over that addiction. You can overcome him over that addiction to food, that eating disorder, that binging and filling yourself up to where it's a struggle for you to keep a healthy weight. You can overcome the enemy by 40, if it's 40 days or 40 months or 40 weeks, by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And I think the enemy wants to keep you captive, wants to keep you limping. But the word of God is powerful. And it says, the next part, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So after prayer, after fasting, after being tempted, after resisting temptation, after proclaiming the word, he returned in the power of the Spirit. See, the word of God will challenge what we think and what we do. And it can change what we think and what we do if we'll let it take a hold of our soul. There are three words spoken out. There is the word of God, there is the word of darkness, and there is your word. And so what will your word agree with? Will it agree with the word of God, or will your words agree with the declaration of darkness? You can't do it. Don't do that. Hold back. Don't trust. You know how it is when you've trusted men before. You trusted men, and look what happened to you. Look what happened with your dad, and look what happened with that guy you dated, and look what happened with this, and you're listening to that pastor. He's a guy. Are you getting the picture? It's men. Be careful. Who are you going to line up with? The word of God or the word of darkness? You know, don't get too bold. Don't get too confident. You don't really have that much going on. You're not like everybody else. You know what you've experienced all your life. I don't want to say it out loud, but you're kind of a loser. And so, but then the word of God is going, you're my beloved son. You're my loved daughter. I'm pleased in you. I have a purpose for you. I got something for you to do. Which is your word going to line up with and agree with? Because what you choose matters. It'll change what you think. It'll change what you do. It'll change what you believe. You know, the answer to when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? It was an opportunity for them to line their declaration up with something. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're this and this prophet and John the Baptist and whatever. That's what everybody's saying. Saying, who do you say? It was when Peter declared, it was Simon at the time, and he said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, Yeshua, the Son of God. He said, oh, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That was revealed to you by the Father. And my church is going to be built on that revelation, that voice from heaven to your soul. And when you line your words up with the word of God, oh, this is the revelation that the church is built on. The gates of hell cannot prevail against that. When you hear that word and you take it personally and you recognize it's the words of life, it'll change how you think and who you are and how you act. In Luke chapter 8, he talked about the parable of the sower and the sower, he talked about sowing seeds. And he said, you know, it's a spiritual book using spiritual truths to speak to spiritual people. And it wasn't about seeds. It was about, he said, the seeds are the word of God. And he talks about all the things that steal from the word in our life. And then I like this. I'm not sure if I gave you the notes of the scripture, but I'll just tell you anyway. But the next thing he says is, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar. And he says, therefore, be careful how you listen. So he's telling the parable of the sower, and then we think he's gone on to something else. But he said, no man takes a light and puts it a jar over it, because then the light is hidden. Then he says, therefore, remember that key word? That you always got to watch for those therefores, because it's connecting thoughts. And he said, be careful how you listen, because you can be your own worst enemy by taking a jar and putting it over the word of God in your life. And that light that sets you free, that light that guides you, that light that heals you, that frees you from that accusation, frees you from that voice. You have to be careful how you listen. And you let the word of God guide you and free you. Well, Lord, help me on what to do next. I think, according to these notes, today was three sermons, and you just heard one. So I'm going to have to stop. But here's what I felt in my heart to tell you. There is a story where a Roman soldier came to Jesus and said, my servant is sick and he needs to be healed. Now think about that. It's interesting because this is a Roman soldier. This is the man who's perpetrating the curse against God's people. He's holding them in captivity and in bondage. And Jesus would say, I'm here to speak to Israel. That's who my focus is. So he's telling Jewish people about the Messiah, about healing, about forgiveness, about the Lamb of God, words of life. And this Gentile, not only a Gentile, but one of the enemy who rules over them. And he said, could you heal? I've seen you heal. I've heard your message. And I'm somebody I care about. And so would you heal them? And Jesus said, okay, let's go. Now, listen, this is it. This is the moment. This is your moment. That the centurion said, no. You don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word. Because I've watched you. I know who you are. I've seen you work. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And it said, Jesus marveled. That is just not a good enough word. I'm going to have to look that up in different translations. But Jesus was like, what? Did you hear what this guy said? He said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Oasis. All of Israel, all of the New Testament church. I haven't seen this kind of faith. One guy out there in the darkness said, I respect your word. If you say it, it's true. It's real. There's power in your word to bring change and to set people free. Now listen, because I'm going to pray, and I believe with all my heart that some people are going to get healed right now. I believe that people are going to be set free right now from those things that torture you at night. There's three people in here that take medication to sleep, and it's good to get sleep, but the problem is spiritual, and the power is going to be broken over your life because of the word of God, and you're going to be free. He said, if you just speak the word, I know it will happen. He said, I haven't seen this kind of faith. And he said, because you believed. I was praying for today, and I felt so strong that God said to me, Philip, if you can get them to believe, I'll touch their life. If you can get them to believe my word, they'll have a miracle. They will have that touch. And I can't do it on my own, but I can present the opportunity for you to choose. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe the accusations, the myths of what's true for others? Or are you going to believe the truth? Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to carry our sins, pay the price, shed his blood, raise from the dead. That Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, oh, his word. He said, it says about him that he was healing all these people, and it was done because of what he was going to do on the cross. It covers for you. I got to pray. That was so tricky how I said I was going to close, and then I did like 6 or 7 more minutes. But I thought it was important. God, thank you for your word. I thank you for this moment right now where people need your touch. Thank you for your word, that you've given us that word of life. Oh, God, I thank you that you've given us ears to hear. The Bible says that Jesus says to us as believers, as people, as human beings, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart, the door of your life. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in. I believe that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and of your life. I believe that Jesus is knocking at the door of your future. You are in the midst of a desert right now. You're in the midst of a battle right now. And Jesus is knocking at the door saying, I will come in. I will give my word, speak my word. I'm talking to you. You know what to do. God, I pray right now that people here in this worship center will be healed by the power of your word. By his stripes, you are healed. By the power of that name above all names, healing is taking place in your body and in your heart, in your soul. Nobody can heal a broken heart like Jesus. Nobody can heal a wounded soul, a scarred psyche from the past. Nobody can touch it like the Holy Spirit. And so that person who was taking this so personally when I was talking about the men in your life, and if you're honest, you're thinking, yeah, I don't really trust any men. Would you offer that to Jesus? Would you make a decision in this moment to bow your knee to Jesus and not to that fear any longer? Would you say, it is written. It is written. Declaring his word over your life. God will protect you. God will deliver you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You could just say that. It is written. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It is written. No weapon formed against me will prosper. A weapon from the past, a weapon from the present. It is written. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It is written. God has poured out his love by the Holy Spirit in me. Romans chapter 5. It is written. More than enough. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you, it is written. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in me. Thank you for setting me free.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.